Have your Bibles. How many of you realize that we're going through a very, very perplexing times in our country and in our society? It seems like what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right in our society in the day in which we live. It's hard to tell where people their thoughts, how they're thinking about, our communities, our societies, the human race as far as that goes. Everything seemed like in the last 3 or 4 months has just turned upside down. I mean, it's when the things that I used to think were one way and held dear, I still do, but there's a group out there, let me put it that way, that it's just totally backwards for them. It's hard to put your finger on it, but our society, our times are very perplexing, the times in which we're living. I never would have thought that I would have ever seen anything of this nature. But it's here and we're dealing with it. A lot of it's not pleasant. But I want you to look at these verses. I want to give you a little introduction about them first. But if we address, I've used these scriptures here in John chapter 14 many, many, many times. With funerals, I've heard many a preacher use John chapter 14 in funerals, things of that nature. Very, very few funerals that you'll go to that on an average that they're not mentioned. These verses are not mentioned. Well, I got to thinking about it. What prompted, there's always a reason for a lot of things. But in John chapter 14, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to go back on some things. But John chapter 14, 1 through 6. In chapter 14, whenever I get there, we'll read it. But John chapter 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how canst we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now get this picture in your mind. He's talking to his disciples there in the upper room there. Judas is carrying different ones. He's having the supper there. But just prior to this that we've just read, and I got to wondering about these scriptures here. And he was trying to exhort. He was trying to help. He was trying to build them up. He was trying to make them feel better. They were perplexed, and their hearts were heavy. Even though I'll show you in a little bit that I don't think they really understood what was going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. What he'd been telling them these three and a half years, they didn't understand what was happening. And that's amazing to me how that they walked and talked and slept and eat and ministered with him all of these years, but yet they didn't understand. And we'll show you here in a little bit that they didn't understand. But Jesus spake these words in John, and he made three startling announcements that we'll look. We won't look back at John chapter 13, starting in verse 21. And I think these are some of the reasons that he made these statements. And he was trying to build up the disciples here in this. Starting in 13 and 21. "And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And the disciples looked one on another, doubting to whom he was, who had spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then laying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped it, dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Folks, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. The Bible says you cleave to one, you'll leave one or the other. You'll serve one or the other. The Bible also says when we're saved that the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. Now, the believer, the Holy Spirit of God has not yet come to indwell an individual at this point. See, Christ hadn't gone to the cross of Calvary. We'll see that here in just a little bit as well. But anyhow, a lot of folks of the situation are wondering whether Judas went to heaven or whether he went to hell. The Bible said he went to his own place. And also the Bible said there that Satan entered into him. Listen, folks, Satan can't enter into a believer. Cannot. It's totally impossible. Can't happen. So that should give you a little bit of an inkling of where he went. Now, that's not what the message is about, but that was just a freebie in the midst of this. The Bible says, Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest quickly. Do it quickly. Now, no man at this table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had a bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received a sop, went immediately out, and it was night. One of the reasons I think Jesus spoke these words in John, and the reason that he gave us John chapter 14 is because of the betrayal and the dishonesty of Judas. Think about this. When Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, see, the disciples at this point, the only one that knew it was Peter. And Peter's not telling anybody. And Peter didn't fully understand, I don't think, what was going on. But none of the rest of them knew what was going on. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows our down sittings or uprisings. He knows everything about us. There's nothing you can acquaint the Lord Jesus Christ about your life, because he knows everything about it. But what he's doing here, he knows the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the disciples. And because of that, he knows how they're going to be downtrodden, how they're going to be perplexed, how they're going to be, all manner of discouragement and hurt and pain because of what happened once they find out. Really, because they're saying, well, listen, he was one of us. He did the very same things we did. So one of the things that I think caused the writing of John chapter 14 is because Jesus knew his disciples were going to be perplexed because of the dishonesty of Judas, because of what he did. And then we want to see a second thing. There's three things. We want to see about his departure. He talked to him about his departure there in John chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. The Bible says in 31 through 33, Therefore, when he had gone about, Jesus said, Now is the Son of God, Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify himself in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Verse 33, Little children, yet a little while, The Bible said our life's like a vapor that appeared for a short while and it's gone. The Bible said our life's like the grass that grows up, cut down and withered away. That's the brevity of life. But he says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Just a little while. I've been trying to prepare you for three and a half years. I just don't really think you got it. I'm paraphrasing. You shall seek me, and as I have said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. You can't come. So now I say unto you, what he was saying there, he said, if I be glorified, what he knew, this was the culmination, or this was the beginning, when Judas Iscariot, when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and he left, this was the one of the first steps that was taking place. In other words, the ball was rolling. Things had begun at this time. And he said, now I be glorified. And what he's talking about, that, you know, he and his Father are one, what Jesus has always told us. And he was saying that I'll be glorified through him. When I go to the cross of Calvary, which is just yet a little while, I'll be glorified. And when I'm glorified, I'll glorify the Father, which is in heaven. And that's what he's talking about there. But he wanted to address his departure there to his disciples. Even though, again, he'd been with them for three and a half years, had walked the dusty, the streets of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all over Galilee and places of that nature, they didn't understand. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. They didn't understand what he was talking about until the Comforter came. And we'll see that. But he wanted to address his disciples. He wanted to give them some security, some hope, if you please, like you and I have hope. The name of the message is, let not your heart be troubled. And he didn't want their hearts to be troubled. He wanted them to understand what was going on. And then the third thing is that he knew that his disciples were going to have a hard time with. And he knew one of them, and I'll show you what one of them, that is the problem that he had. And that was Simon Peter. What a great man Simon Peter was. You realize Simon Peter was the first apostle to be called. First apostle to be, great man. He was the first apostle to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He was the first apostle to witness the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the first apostle to proclaim salvation to the Gentiles. Simon Peter also was the first apostle to inspire the writing of a gospel, one of the books. So he was a great man, but Simon Peter didn't understand. In John chapter 13 again, starting in verse 36, the Bible says in 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. In other words, I'm leaving. You're eventually going to come, but it's not going to be anytime soon. Excuse me. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing everything's going to take place, there's nothing in your life. He knows exactly what's going to take place in your life tomorrow, the next day. He knows it all, folks. And he has it all under control. But looking at the denial there, Peter said unto him, Lord, why? Why canst I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter, you don't understand. You're not the man you really think you are. You don't know your heart as well as you think you do. Because the Lord Jesus Christ knew, excuse me, he knew that Peter was going to deny. He knew exactly what was going to happen when he was warming by the fires and when they accused him of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ or being a party to those disciples there. He didn't understand what he was saying. Peter, after all of this time, In chapter 21 of the book of John there, Peter even said there all the disciples, there's about seven of the disciples there together. And after the crucifixion, well, when the crucifixion was taking place, there's not a one of them didn't fear for their life that the Lord Jesus, because of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, but what they were going to end up suffering the same situation, going to be killed by the hands of the Roman soldiers. But in John 21, they had all in their minds, I know they had thought, well, listen, this thing was just something that was going to suffice for a little while. And the whole time Christ was trying to prepare them for the ministry to begin his church and to get it going and everything like that. But in John 21, Peter said, I go fishing. The rest of them are going to go with him. And this thing's over with. We've got nothing to look forward to. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what's in the mind of the disciples. They, I don't think, understood not hardly one iota of what the Lord Jesus Christ has been trying to teach them these three and a half years. They got in all the miracles. They knew that he was the Messiah, the Christ, and so on and so forth. But these were troubled times for the disciples. And I believe these were three of the things that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to say the things that he did in chapter 14 there in these first few verses. But let's look at a few other things there pertaining to these. But again, these were troublesome times. These were troublesome times then. They're troublesome times today. Listen, this will work in my life, your life today, all of these things that he had given us. Again, I'd use this chapter 14, first four or five verses, many of funerals over the time, over the years, to try to give comfort to individuals that, you know, that it's not over with. It's not over with. And that's what the Lord was trying to depart or trying to give to the disciples at that time. But in John chapter 14, Jesus gives us seven different things that are a sure cure for a troubled heart. A troubled heart. Have you ever had a troubled heart? You ever been, didn't look like you could get out of a situation, didn't know what was going on, didn't think God was going to be able to handle it or whatever? But I believe he gives seven different things here that we want to see just as briefly as we can in John chapter 14, a sure cure for a troubled heart there. The first one is in verse 1 there. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He tells them, don't let your heart get out of hand. Don't be troubled by these things that are going to take place. He said, I'm in control of these things, is what he's saying. But and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, Jesus said in scriptures on down later, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man's going to come to the Father except by me. But the first thing we see there is the power that is sovereign. God is sovereign, folks. Beside him, there is none else. He's the only true and the living God. Confucius, Muhammad, Allah, and all of those different ones there, they're not gods. But he says there, the power that's sovereign, he says you believe in God. That's the whole key to everything, folks, in this life, in the Christian life, if you believe in God. If you don't believe in God, you're in bad shape. But it's not enough to believe in God. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't go to the Father except you go through the Son. Jesus is the one that paid the price on Calvary's cross there. But we see the power that was sovereign. Verse 1 there, you believe in God. He's the Savior of the soul. I thank God that he is, and he did save my soul years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of things I've got over, but I haven't never got over that yet. Don't expect to get over it. But he's the Savior of the soul. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He tells us there, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he's the one that gives you rest. He's the one that's sovereign, and he can promise those things. He can do those things. And then we see he's the stiller of the storm. There. He steals the storms in our lives. You've been in perplexing situations. There's not a one of you in here that hadn't got bad news of some sort, hadn't lost a loved one of some sort. And he's able to bring peace and steal that storm in your life there. Mark chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, Mark chapter 35 through 41, the Bible says there, he did steal the storm there. Verse 35, and the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent him away, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and of waves beating into the ship, so that it was now full. You know, I had missed that over the years. That ship was about to sink. The Bible said it was now full. I mean, when something's full, it's full, isn't it? I don't know what was keeping, the Lord was keeping it up, I guess. But it's now full. And he was in the, Bible said he was in the hinder parts of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they waked him and said unto him, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He didn't say a little faith. How is it that you have no faith? The disciples there that was traveling with him, how is it that they had no faith, folks? Being with him all of this time, seeing the miracles that he performed over the years, how could they have not had any faith at all? But he said there in that scripture right there that they had no faith, no faith. The Bible says in 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And what manner of man is this? That's my Savior, folks, and it's your Savior. But not only that, we see the power that is sovereign. He is the sustainer of the saints. He sustains the saints there. In Psalms chapter 37, 30 and 25, years ago, this scripture here that I'm going to read to you is the scripture that if the Lord had said, I want you to follow me to the ends of the earth, that's what we'd have done. This very scripture right here, the Lord gave this scripture to me when we were going to the mission field. I was young. We was young. We had not tested or tried the Lord in a lot of different things. We, at that point, we're older now, naturally. But we didn't understand how great our God was and what a good God he was. But this scripture he gave to me. This scripture is the reason that we went to the mission field. The Bible says, I have been young. And we were then. We were young. And now I'm old. And I am. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I said, Lord, that's all I need. You promised not only you're going to take care of me and my wife and my children. If there's children comes after that, you're going to their offsprings, you're going to take care of them. All you want me to do is be willing and righteous and do what you want me to do. And because of that, we left out, sold everything we had, and hit the road. Felt like Moses there, or Abraham. I mean, Abraham didn't, we was headed for a country. Really wasn't sure where we was going, to be honest with you. But anyhow, he's the sustainer of the saints, folks, there. This is the first thing. Second thing is the path that is simple. He wants things to be simple for us, folks. I remember back years ago before I got saved, I thought one of the hardest things in the world to do was to get saved. I didn't know how. Had no man to show me. Had no man to tell me, like the Ethiopian eunuch. But we're looking at in verse 6 there. The Bible says in verse 6 of John chapter 14 there, he says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man's going to come to the Father but by me. It's a simple way. It's the path that is so simple for individuals that they try to make it hard. But he wanted them to understand, his disciples there, that this was the cure for their trouble. Everything is not as complicated as you think it is many times. Things are relatively, we make things complicated. We get things all out of sorts many times when all he wants us to do is trust him. That's all he wanted his disciples to do. He had been trying to get them to trust him these several years. But I don't think it sunk into most of them. I don't. I know they knew he was the Messiah. He was the King of the Jews and Lord and Savior and all of that. But I don't know that it really sunk in. But Jesus is the only way to God for sinners and salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man's going to come to the Father except by me. Jesus not only is the path that's simple, Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. There is no other way. The Bible says anyone that tries to get in and go any other way is a thief and a robber and cannot enter in. But there are those that tries to think I've been a pretty good person. I've got to make a pretty good living and make pretty good income. I give a little bit to charitable organizations. I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I do all of these things. I try to help out with the community. I know most of my neighbors. They think all this is the way. It's not. And Jesus plainly tells us that he is the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. No one. But Jesus not only is the way to God for a saint, he's the way for God in supplication. And Jesus is the only mediator that you and I have. Just like the high priest there once a year had to go behind the Holy of Holies there, they had to have a mediator. And that's all the high priest was a mediator to take the sins and to put them on the altar there, blood sacrifice, to be able to roll them forward to Calvary. They was paid for at Calvary. They weren't paid for it each year. They were paid for when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. But he's the only mediator. He's the only way, and he's the only mediator for the saint. Then the third thing is a sure cure for the troubled heart is the prayer that is sure. The prayer that is sure. In verse 13 and 14 of chapter 14, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, let me tell you something, folks. I'm not one of those name it and claim it people. I'm not one of those health and wealth preachers. I'm not. God will do all of these things he says he does in his own time and in his own way. But we see the prayer that is sure there in this. We see the scope of it. He said whatsoever or anything. But let me clarify that. God's got a will for every individual's life that is sitting in this auditorium tonight. He's got a perfect will for your life. And he says there, in my name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's power in that name. But I thank God that I have a elder brother, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that goes before the Father as a mediator. that doesn't give me everything that I think that I need. Did you give your children everything that they thought that they needed? I'm going to tell you right off the bat, if you did, you're a bad parent. I make no apologies for that. No apologies whatsoever. That's the way God the Father is. Listen, as long as we're in His will, as long as it'll glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as it'll glorify anything to do with the gospel, I believe He'll supply that. I really do. In His name is a clarification of that. But again, I'm not one of these name it and claim it's. No. You know, you got to be in the will of God. It's got to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ before He's going to supply that to you. Now, if you meet those qualifications, sky's the limit, if you want to put it that way. But anyhow, let's go on. The thing is, it's a sure cure for the troubled heart is the promise of the Spirit. And I like this one, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another. In other words, I was one, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's talking about a comforter, another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. There's a lot of folks out there tonight that's bewildered about their salvation. They don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they're lost. They say they were saved at one time or another. The Bible says right there that He may abide with you forever. Listen, once you get saved, you can't get rid of Him. Let me just put it that way. That's just old country lingo. You can't get rid of Him. He's with you forever. The Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. When is that? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and gets us. Verse 17, the Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, they're not saying the world can't be saved. They're saying the world, until they're saved, does not have Him indwelling their hearts, what it's saying, because it seeth Him not. They don't see Him. They don't understand who He is. You can tell them. The Bible said the natural, the carnal man receiveth not the things of God. In other words, they don't understand because they don't have our teacher. Neither know Him, but ye know Him. He's telling His disciples this. You know Him. He's been with you, not in you now. Now, there's people that would disagree with me on this, and that's fine. But let me tell you something. Neither know Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you. Not in you. Not yet. Jesus hadn't died on the cross of Calvary yet. The Comforter has not necessarily, what you'd say, been sent yet. Do you understand that? He hadn't been sent yet because Christ hadn't went away yet. So he is just with them to help them. But anyhow, we see that the promise of the Spirit. We see that this is a sure cure for a troubled heart. Listen, when I get to thinking things is not good, the Holy Spirit, man, He'll shore things up and He'll give me things that'll help me. He'll help me to remember things that'll help me along in that particular day, and He'll take care of a lot of situations in my life. He does those things for us, but the Bible says that the promise of the Spirit. We see the person, another comforter, one just like the Lord Jesus Christ is what He's saying in that verse right there. And then we see the promise of the Spirit that He is trying to give a cure, sure cure for a troubled heart there. The sure cure for that is His purpose. He comforts us in John chapter 14 and verse 6 as we read. Are we going to read there? And He said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. The Bible tells us there that in that verse there that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way. And in John chapter 26, look at John chapter 26. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach. Now I'm trying to impart some things here to you tonight, but I'm not teaching. If you get anything out of this, the teacher is going to give it to you tonight, and that's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Bible says, in my name he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Remember who he's talking to. He's talking to his disciples. Remember I told you a moment ago, I said they didn't understand. They didn't have a clue. They knew that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. They had trusted him as that. When he told them that he had to go away, I would have loved to have been there and watched their response. They didn't have a clue what he was really. They thought him being the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that he was coming to deliver the Jewish race of people, get them out of bondage. They was under such repression and things of that nature. That's what they were looking. And when he told them that he was going away, they thought, what in the world? You got to be kidding me. But he's saying there, listen, when I'm gone, this verse here, I'm going to go over it again, verse 26. He said, when I'm gone, the Comforter that I'm going to send, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Listen to this, and bring all things to your remembrance. Do you get that? He said, I know you forgot a lot of this stuff. I know you didn't understand a lot of the things that I had told you over the years. But when the Holy Spirit gets here, he's going to illuminate these things in your heart. He's going to bring them back. And you're going to understand what I was saying then. But I'm going to be gone. It's what he's saying there. Whatsoever things I have said unto you. It's what they're going to come back. They're going to remember those things that he had told them. And then we see the peace that satisfies. You know, think back in your minds. Before you got saved, you thought you knew what peace was, didn't you? Oh, you thought you had a real handle on what peace was really about in this world. But verse 27 there, the Bible says peace. The Lord told them, he knew they was going to be tore up. Got an old buddy of mine, he had a saying. He uses the phrase that they were tore up as a $2 watch. That's pretty tore up because they ain't much to a $2 watch. But they were tore up. They were perplexed. They didn't know what to do, how to turn, or what, anything of that, even though they had been left instructions. Now, the Comforter hadn't come yet, so they hadn't got this together yet. But he says, peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Do you remember when you thought the world had give you peace and it was so good and so sweet, you thought, and then you got saved. And then you thought, boy, that was a bunch of trash I thought was peace. But as the world give I unto you, and then let not your hearts be troubled. He was shoring this thing up again. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. A sure cure for a troubled heart is peace, folks. The peace that he's talking about there, there's peace. It's a promised place. Heaven is a promised place. The Bible said, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love him? If so, he's prepared these things for you. Do you know him as your personal Savior? But it's a divine peace. It's a satisfying peace, but it's a divine peace there. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. He accused them of not having faith there a moment ago in Mark. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that he gives, folks, passes all understanding there. There's no way to describe it. No way. If somebody asked me to describe that peace, I couldn't do it. Think about it. It's totally the opposite of what I thought peace was years ago. When people, you know, is we have no peace in this world now. That's what the world's going to be crying one of these days is peace. And he said, I'm that peace. But then there's the peace that is secure, that's a sure cure for the troubled heart. And also then there's a promise place that we had seen there in these verses there. In verse 2, the Bible says, going back to John chapter 2, of John chapter 14, verse 2. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's a promised place, folks. There are many mansions. It's a prepared place. He says, I go to prepare it. It's a personal place. It's for you. And he's telling every individual, this is a collective thing there. But look at verse number 2 there. My Father's house are many mansions. You realize the custom for the Jewish custom is for when a young Jewish man takes a bride, he goes back to his father's house. There's this espousal time that takes place. Could be months, could be a year, could be 2 years. But there's an espousal period of time that they both set themselves aside. But the young Jewish man, after he has proposed the espousal period of time, they go back, he goes back to his father's house. And the custom was to build on to that house. Then they get married. And then he takes his bride back there. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, but I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go and make sure, prepare that place. Make sure that it's ready to go and to be there. But folks, it's a promised place. A promised place that is sweet that we're talking about here in these verses. Titus 2:15 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it's a sweet promise is what it is. If that doesn't give you a cure for a troubled heart, knowing that there's many a day that goes by that I'm telling you, it seems like they're turned upside down. And I can think in my mind and in my soul and my heart that there's a better place of coming. Listen, it's to the point now that I've got more on the other side than I got on this side. As old saying goes, I'm homesick and got a longing to go. But when I think of how good it's going to be and that it's a promised place and it's a sweet place that I'm headed for one of these days, and it's not going to be long, like he told Simon Peter there a moment ago, you can't come now, but it won't be long. You'll be with me because, after all, Grady Green was only 40 years old 3 weeks ago. I mean, that's the way it appears, the way it seems. Does it not? Now, he was not 40 years old 3 weeks ago, but he may act like it, but he wasn't. But anyhow, it goes by in a hurry. The brevity of life goes by quickly. 1 Thessalonians, and I'm done. 1 Thessalonians, I want to read that to you. I get excited every time that I get to read this. Chapter 4, if I can get to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this was not, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And that word ignorant means I don't want you to not understand is what he's saying. He's not using that word in a derogatory sense. But he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. How many of you got a lot of friends and relatives that are asleep tonight? I'm not talking about at home. Now, there may be some home asleep, but I'm talking about in the grave. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. A lot of folks have no hope, folks. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Verse 14, for if we believe, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But if we believe, that's what faith is believing that Jesus died and he arose again, even so them also which sleep, those that's in the grave, in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or not precede. Would be a word that would be more you could understand. Prevent or precede them which are asleep. In other words, they're going to rise first. We're going to come up same time with them. Verse 16, for the Lord himself. He didn't do all this to let somebody else come back and get us. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, those are comforting words. We've used those many a times at a funeral as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing all things, he knows the hearts, the intent of the hearts. Again, he knows the down sittings and their uprisings. He wanted to give the disciples in chapter 14. He knew they were going to be just in a bad way. Let me put it that way. That they just was going to have all kind of issues. They was going to try to give up. They were going to try to go back to their old occupations. But he knew they was going to need something. But let me tell you something. John chapter 14 is one of the greatest chapters that I know in the Bible. If you're perplexed, you're downtrodden, you need cure for a troubled heart, read chapter 14. It'll help you. That's what he was trying to do, was to help his disciples, because Peter was standing there. They didn't understand. In Acts chapter 11 verse 1, he said, it talks about there, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, as you see him go away, he's going to come back in like manner. He's not leaving you forever. He's going to be back. He's coming back. But he was trying to help them to understand. Folks, this is not it. Many a funeral, many a different times at funerals, try to convey to the people that those that know the Lord as their personal Savior, this is not the end. And it's not the end for the child of God. But it's just the beginning. It's just getting started. 10,000 years and we've just have begun. 10,000 years. I appreciate your attention tonight. Hopefully I haven't.